not preaching tonight, but I've got one or two stories to tell as well, and I'll do that as we're getting ready to dismiss. Sister Dolores, you were set up at Floral Park.
Yes.
Trust me.
I agree.
I was set up, too, as a younger boy, camper age, at our church. My parents were pastors there, where Sister Dolores attended at the time. And every year when we started camp season, well, the springtime leading up to, and announcements were being made, we had a contest for campers, camper-aged children, and it was memory verse contests. And they would be designated, and all of these different portions of Scripture had points assigned to them. And so if you memorized a short section of Scripture, you got certain points, and that went toward reducing the cost for your family of your sending your children to camp. And so I was brought into that, and for the more points, you had to memorize, I think there were a couple times we memorized the whole chapter. And so we had to work for weeks and weeks and several months for some of us, because our parents were pushing us, hey, we need some help getting you to camp, and this is a good opportunity, and we can get you there for free, work hard. And so I was pushed by my parents to do that, and for a number of years, I was able to get money taken off our camp bill. It wasn't until probably quite a few years later that I discovered a secret, that the children of the fellowship ministers did not have to pay for camp. And so I don't want to say I wasted all that time memorizing Scripture, but my parents duped me too, so don't feel so bad, Sister Dolores. I did get to camp. My first experience was in the cottage at 6 years old, and I didn't do well. Actually, it was the Immordinos, who both have recently passed away, and they were my first camp counselors, and there were some others involved with that. But my mom and my grandmother were here as guests, and so I had to say goodnight and wave from a distance as I went into the cottage. And after, I don't even know if I made a week, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I cried every night, and ended up down here. They finally gave in and brought me into their cabin. And I didn't go back to camp until I was a great heart at 11 years old. And then I finished up great heart, 2 years in Natick. And then I wanted to stay the whole month when I got to that point, and then into Nonantum. And it was at 15 years old. I won't go into the whole story, but we all have a story, those moments, particularly when God met us at 15 years old. In our first big meeting in the village, my last year at camp, and I was a little bit disappointed. Brother Carl Saylor retired from the head counselor position. Brother Eddie Walfogel was his first year taking over that role, and coming up, it was a change. My father had just died the months earlier, and so there was a lot of change, and I just didn't like it. It didn't feel right. And so I came in a little bit disappointed and not sure. But that first night, determined in my heart, God, I'm going to seek your face, and I will not leave this meeting until you baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Brother Eddie and Brother Kenny Friedman were the last two counselors. Brother Phil Walfogel was the last camper who prayed with me in that setting. We were right here in the front chairs in the meeting house in the village. And I don't know how long it was. Everybody else was off to bed and lights were out, but we were there, and they sought God, and I say on my behalf. And God came to me that night, baptized me in the Holy Spirit. Our family since have had experiences, our children, now our grandchildren who are coming to camp, they have had experiences here with the Lord. They have a lot of stories. We have some good ones, and we have a few bad ones that we can tell you about. Now we look back with fondness. I'm thankful for the opportunities God gave me. I was talking with Brother Dan in the kitchen after meal tonight, and he said, who'd have thought, because we were campers at the same time, just a couple years apart, but we were campers, we were talking 50 years ago plus. And that just feels weird. And he said, who would have thought we'd be doing what we're doing now at camp? He's a great cook in the kitchen. Thank you, Brother Dan, for your wonderful ministry. And I'm standing here, which I still don't feel quite comfortable doing. But the first times that I was brought into sharing in some of the meetings, it started as in the dining room during some table worship, and Brother Edwin would say, okay, I would like you to share on Saturday morning. Would you do some table worship? And I was just going through or just finished Bible college, and he kind of pushed me a little bit that way, and it went a few years like that. And then one year he said, I want you to speak in the meeting tonight. And so I had to stand behind this pulpit, and Brother Edwin sat there, and it was a cooler time of year, and this fire was raging behind me. And I barely made it through that night. I was terrified, and I felt like I was in the furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. It's something I will never forget, but I'm thankful for those who look beyond all of my stumblings and fumblings, and even today, thank you for your grace that you still listen, but encouraged in ministry. And for many, many years, our family came up every year. Our girls were in the village and so forth, and we sat usually right around here, sometimes with our very young children on our laps, and sat under some wonderful ministers through the years, Brother Gordon and Sister Caroline and the Schulteises, and there are others. I should have written them down. Who was with the Schulteises after that? The Collises. And then it started to be shuffled around a little bit, Brother Kenny and Brother John Schultheis and Brother Keith and Brother Eddie, and I know there are a couple, Brother Phil. And then one year, Brother Eddie approached me right there, and he says, are you able to get away from your church ministry on a Sunday? And he was kind of just poking around, didn't tell me why he was asking, but after a little bit it was, we need somebody on this weekend in the summer, just for 3 days, cover the weekend, and would you be willing to do it? And I did. I'm scared, petrified, and got through a weekend, and a year later, he said, well, there's an opening here, and I think it was still just a few days, and then it was a few more days the year after. Then he pushed it to a week after a while, and he just had that way of reeling in over time. But and then finally, here I am for 2 weeks, still very daunting, but again, just thankful for those that gave opportunity, and many of us have found that here, to find a place of ministry, encouraging us to step out beyond what we feel is our capabilities, just blessing that way. And so I'm just appreciate that. I'll tell more stories tomorrow, maybe. I've got two that I think would be really good to hear and encouraging. At least one of them is very encouraging. The other, you'll be the judge. But let me just close with a verse in Hebrews chapter 13. It's familiar. You don't have to turn there. Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 8. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We've heard, and some would think, well, what's the relevance of telling us all of these names of founders and pastors and ministers and counselors? And that's really irrelevant to me. Here I am 60, 70 years later, and it doesn't have much significance. But we're told here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, remember those who have ministered. Remember those who have taught you the Word of God. Hold them in esteem. Don't just talk about them. And he says, imitate them. You've watched their lives. You've heard the history. You know some of the stories. It's not just reading for the sake of reading or entertainment or information, but when we read about men and women of faith, specifically here, that have that we stand and build upon, these men and women of faith that spent many, many hours and many, many years in this room and sought God and prayed for generations to come, prayed for you, maybe specifically as a camper or a need that was represented. And God was sought here, and because of their faithfulness, here we stand. And so I want to encourage you not just to hear these stories, but when you hear the stories of faith, godly men and women who sacrificed, who gave, who served, all of these older folks, I shouldn't say all, but most, I think, have put their time in here as well. After my years as a camper, my first tasks were pots and pans, I think, for 2 years I was there, and then dishes, and then grounds, and then counseling. And so there's a lot of ministry and service that went on that has blessed some of you who are doing those tasks today, and you feel like, I just want to get out. When is this going to end? How many more days do I have to stand in front of this hot sink or a hot stove? But God is working in you in ways that maybe you're not even aware right now. But even in those moments where it seems like you're just sweating for a cause you're not even bought into, but God is at work. Let him work. And the testimonies that many of you have shared has been a blessing. Those of you young women and men who are serving that way, but how God is meeting you, maybe in unexpected ways. And someday you'll look back, as we've been hearing from some not so much older. In recent years, they've now advanced a little bit, and then some who were on our last years of being able to do hard labor. But you're hearing the stories of what God did in those moments. So I want to encourage you. Labor here, we don't have time, but it's not a random thought that the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. We're talking a little bit about history tonight, but this is the same Jesus that worked in miraculous and powerful ways over 80 years. The same Jesus that is here today and desires to do the same. The same Jesus that is here until he returns again. God willing, this place will stand and he will be faithful. He was encouraging the readers of this letter, don't quit, don't give up. Sometimes it's hard. They suffered persecution. There were times they felt like it wasn't worth going on. But he said, don't quit. Don't forget those who have served. Don't forget this long list of men and women, Hebrews 11, that followed God in faithfulness. Many of them suffered. It wasn't all just blessing. Many of them gave their lives for the sake of Christ. And he says, remember them, imitate them, and the same God that sustained them, the same God that was faithful to them, the same God that answered their prayers, the same God that poured out his Spirit in these meetings and on these grounds is the same today, and he is the same tomorrow. Amen. And so with that confidence, we look to God as we carry the baton into the future, that God would pour out his Spirit, that he would have his way, that this would be a place not just of blessing, but that what God would call people into ministry, into service, whether it's in the local church and you're teaching Sunday school classes or you're leading men's ministries or you're going on missions trips or you're serving at camp, Or you're ministering in your school and your communities and in your workplace, or you're called into ministry, or you're called into the mission field. Whatever the calling is, God is still doing the same if we would yield ourselves to Him. And so, Lord, we ask that You would now come. As we look back and remember with grateful and thankful hearts, dear God, as we recall the blessings of this place and those who have served here and ministered here, we thank You for that, God. But we just don't look back. We stand on a threshold. And we know, Lord, that there is more, that there is blessing still to come, that You desire to do more in our midst. Even here, God, even these weeks, this season, You want to do new things, great things, mighty things, for Your name's sake and for our sake. And so, Lord, we pray that You would help us to walk in Your ways. Help us, Lord, as we journey, those who lead us, Brother Paul, and those who serve on the boards here, those of the ministers that lead camp and make decisions throughout the year here. We pray, Lord, that You would lead them and guide them. Continue to give them the vision that You have for this place. Continue to cause them to remain steadfast, O God, that You might be glorified and blessed. Lord, we love You. Yes. We thank You for all You've done. We thank You, Lord, for what You'll do. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we close, there is a song that we have to sing. It was already mentioned, kind of the theme song of camp, right? I believe it's 44 in your white hymnals that stand. So tomorrow morning, regular schedule, we'll be back here. And then are we to go right down to the boathouse? Will be open when we're finished here. And so you're welcome to join us down there. It'll be a little crowded. Don't get pushed into the lake. So just be careful if you're outside along the dock side. But let's stand number 44.
Hold on to holiness, Church of our God, purchased of Jesus, redeemed by His blood, called from the world and its idols to flee, called from the bondage of sin to be free. Holiness unto the Lord.
Jesus. Let's worship him. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we praise you. We worship you, God. You are faithful. God, you are good. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, O God, for your goodness. Praise your name. We praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed. Enjoy your evening.